From the Theater Talk studio at WBFO, I'm Mark Scott, and this is Press Pass. I'm joined by the editor of Buffalo Spree, Elizabeth Licata. Hello there.
Hello, Mark.
It's hard to believe, but it was not all that long ago that our access to the waterfront was limited. There were few places to enjoy the view, much less playing on the water itself. The July issue of Buffalo Spree, which will arrive this week, explores the various options for enjoying the waterways.
And there are an incredible number of options, as I found out. I actually researched this myself, and I was just interested in all the different kinds of boating you can do and all the different places to do it. But you're right in that some of the areas where you now see people happily kayaking, water biking, paddle boarding, stand-up paddle boarding, no one ever would have thought of doing anything like that, especially when you talk about the Buffalo River at our inner harbor.
Well, not everyone has a boat or can afford a boat or has the wherewithal to operate a boat. But as you mentioned, there are many options, starting with one that's been around for decades before the waterfront opened up. And I'm talking about the Miss Buffalo.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the Miss Buffalo is great. They have lots of different options for cruises, and you can bring it's great for work groups and just fun, and it's relatively big, so you it's stable. You're not really going to worry about getting seasick and things, so it's a good basic option if you just want to get out in the water and not do any of the work yourself.
Now, companies offering rentals from kayaks to paddle boats and water bikes, they've exploded in recent years.
There are so many. I'm certain that I probably missed one or two, but I tried to be as thorough as I could be. But they're down there at a couple different places on the Buffalo River, like right at Canal Side. There are options, but then you can right at Silo City, you can rent one. And there are the Outer Harbor, there are options too. Longboards is out there near, I guess, just past Times Beach, where near Wilkinson Point, where a lot of new options for recreation are there.
Now, with so many people out there on their kayaks, canoes, paddle boats, and then you combine that with the motor boats, the larger variety of boats, are our recreational waterways getting a bit too busy?
I had heard, as I'm sure you have, that there is a bit of a danger when you have these really small craft, like the kayaks, and particularly the stand-up paddle boards, and you've got maybe big motorboats operating, then there could be upsets, collisions, but there are basic safety precautions that people try to follow. And I believe that anyone renting a kayak does get like at least a brief safety lecture from the rentals. And of course, all the boats that I've talked about that people can just sort of rent space on are always captained by trained, captains who have complete, first aid training and are ready for any emergency. Now, that's obviously not true if you're in your own kayak.
If you're opting to go on a kayak, I've never done that, do I need training?
I would have to say no, because I've kayaked a number of times in Georgian Bay and then more recently on Lake Erie, and it's very easy. It's just, you just get into the boat, push yourself off, move the paddles. It's pretty simple. You get the hang of it really fast.
Okay. Well, one thing William L. Truder, a local attorney and freelance writer who helped you prepare this special report on the waterfront, he pointed out that the views from a kayak as you paddle around the Little Rock and the Sullivans at the Naval Park, that's amazing.
You're surrounded by these massive structures, not just those boats, but then all the huge grain, the silos and everything. And you're also, you're quiet. And I think there's one course you can take that goes along the Buffalo River a little further south than any of the other ones do. And you'll see all kinds of interesting birds. And they're not really that, you're not frightening them off because you're in this very noiseless sort of small boat, and you're not bothering them, so you can have a much better chance to see wildlife.
You also write about some of the beaches, from Wilson Tuscarora State Park off Lake Ontario to the north, to Sunset Beach off Lake Erie to the south. But there's a big gap between Beaver Island and Woodlawn State Park. And are there any plans to develop a swimming beach in Buffalo itself, perhaps it's, by the Outer Harbor? Or
it is really needed. As you know, Gallagher Beach is not a swimming beach. And the problem, I think, is they have to fix all of our complicated sewer and water treatment system, particularly when you have the big rains comes through, the system becomes overloaded, and then you have too much bacteria going into the water, and then even Woodlawn Beach will be closed down. Woodlawn Beach, as you know, Mark, is frequently closed. We can't ignore this. This is something that happens, and it is something that you have to be aware of. So until that infrastructure is fixed, I think it'll be difficult to have a city-based swimming beach that's open as often as we would want it to be. But you can certainly go from those city-based beaches on the Outer Harbor, you can certainly go in kayak and paddleboard.
You also profile three of the restaurants that provide waterfront dining, starting with the River Grill in Tonawanda. Now, about 20 years ago, I was biking along the Niagara River path when I pedaled by the restaurant, and I said, we'll have to catch that sometime. And that yeah. night, that very night, I said to the family, let's go there. And it wasn't the most scenic place. There are marinas around
right.
it, and it's sort of in an industrial neighborhood, but there was good food, live music, the people were friendly, and it was a great time.
It's not exactly that sort of serene water view that you may want. If you want that, don't go there. But people love that place. It's a little tricky getting to it by a car. I'm sure you found that.
Yeah.
You know, because it's, but you can't miss it when you're driving along the through. You can't miss that big blue palm, top of the palm tree there. And it's, they have live music. And you are, you know, near the water. You are on the water. You don't have those kind of quiet views, but you are surrounded by water-based activity. And it's just, it's a fun place.
Also in the July issue, you write about this summer's retrospective of artist Robert Indiana at the Albright Knox Art Gallery. He's the artist responsible for the famous Love sculpture.
Yes.
He passed away this spring.
Yeah.
And we're all familiar with this, but tell us more about him, the artist himself.
Well, he's a really interesting artist. And unfortunately, and he was very aware of this, his entire career and reputation became subsumed by this one icon, this wonderful icon, love. But he did a lot of other work. He liked working with simple words and symbols that could have very complex meanings, as certainly love does. And he did a lot of other sculptures and paintings, just using American, his iconography was essentially American. He would look at roadside signs and things like that for inspiration. And he just, the problem was that he never copyrighted the love image. It just was on everything, coffee mugs, you know, just everything. And he was not making any money from it. And he finally, I think, started to resolve this sort of ownership of it. And in fact, you know, on the other hand, you have to say that he himself repeated the love image all over the world. There's love sculptures that Indiana caused to be created in major cities everywhere.
And that wasn't his original name either.
He grew up in Indiana,
right?
No.
Yeah.
No. He grew up in Indiana and he changed his name from Robert Clark to reflect his home state, which was kind of another tip of the hat for this whole idea of, you know, loving America, or at least identifying with America and identifying with this kind of Midwest sort of America, the America of roadside signs, of Route 66, not the sophisticated art world of New York, which he steered clear of, although he must be considered one of the most important pop artists.
And his death being so recent, it makes I'm sure the exhibit was planned well before his death.
Oh, sure.
But it makes it more compelling to be there.
Well, yeah. Well, he was 89, so it's certainly something that I think if I'm a curator and I'm looking at an artist who's in his 80s, I'm thinking, you know, time to do a retrospective. And I think maybe people would always like the participation of the artist if they can. But in this case, Indiana had been a recluse on this island, Vinyl Haven, off the coast of Maine for many decades. In fact, I curated a show that included Robert Creeley's collaboration with Robert Indiana called Numbers. And we tried to interview all the artists that Creeley collaborated who were alive. And Indiana just would not, was not, did not.
Okay. So it's now at the Albright Knox Art Gallery.
Yes, and well worth seeing. I definitely think this is a great summer show, and of course the beautiful love sculpture is right outside there. And I would say that will certainly rival Shark Girl as a great sculpture to have your picture taken with.
Finally, before you join us again, you will have had your big summer party where you unveil
That's
the
right.
best of Western New York 2018. Share the details.
Yes, July 20th, and it will be in Larkin Square. We'll sort of be separated off by bicycle racks, and we're going to have all kinds of food like we always do. And we'll give out the prizes to the people who are, you know, winning them, and give out magazines, and we'll have live entertainment and DJs. It's just, you know, a big party. It's a fun party, and I bet it'll be sold out.
And then we'll talk about the results in our next conversation.
Yes.
Elizabeth, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Mark.
Elizabeth Licata is editor of Buffalo Spree. Mark Scott, WBFO News.